Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
So this week on the Big Success Podcast, we have Ken Schmidt. Now, Ken was the former director of communication at Harley-Davidson, was around in the 80s when the big turnaround of Harley-Davidson happened. And when you think about his active role in that celebrated brand becoming not just, really, he got paid to ride motorcycles. That's the essence of it. But his ability to communicate dominance and his great work. Now, he's respected as one of the most outspoken, I guess, and provocative, entertaining thought leaders. And we had him speak at our BizX conference. I've got him here for you on our Big Success Podcast. We're going to talk all things success when it comes to brand management, positioning, reputation, human motivation, and loyalty. His book that was a great read called Make Some Noise is really about how to create market dominance. Tune in for the next 30 minutes. You, me, Ken Schmidt, big success is happening on the podcast today. And it's super exciting to be on the Big Success Podcast with you today with Ken Schmidt. How are you doing, Ken?
I'm doing quite well, Brad. Thanks.
You know, such an amazing track record, such an amazing history. We start every episode of the Big Success by asking you, what is success to you? Ken Schmidt's version of success.
To me, Brad, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Success to me is going to bed at night feeling like I did something, that I accomplished something today that I'm proud of, and not going to bed at night regretting things that I didn't do. As corny as that might sound, to me, I sleep better knowing that I achieved what I set out to do.
Yeah, it's amazing how many days we can have in our life where it's like, gee, I was busy, but I'm not sure I got anything done today. How do you make certain you do get stuff done in a day, that you do add value and you do those great things?
Well, it's actually getting harder instead of easier as I get older, because it's easier to create excuses to find time to do to go hang out in my garage and mess around out there. But I'm a list maker, so I make my checklist. Okay, here's what I have to get done today. Here's who I have to talk to. And until those things are done, the playtime gets put off. I just try to make that a habit.
Yeah. So when you look at all the success you've had, and obviously the most famous area is the Harley era for you, let's go back a ways, though. When did you, in your life, decide to be successful? When did you sort of say, you know, this is it, I'm going to just be successful? Because it's easy to be average out there.
It's interesting, because when I first got out of college and started, on the first steps of my, career, I thought that success meant that I had to make myself look good at all times. I had to be, a leader. I had to be a hard charger. I had to be aggressive. I had to be great around people. But a boss who turned out to be a great mentor without realizing he was being a mentor at the time, told me something. He said, Kenny, your job here isn't to make yourself look good. Your job is to make me look good. Because if I look good, then we both look good. And then I just took that a step further, working with clients. My job's to make you look good. Because if you look good, that means I'm not only doing my job, it means I'm doing my job well. Otherwise, you're not going to keep me around. And I've repeated that line a billion times in a billion meetings to a billion different people. It's make the people above you or that you work for look great and look successful, because if you're doing that for them, they see that, they recognize it, and they'll reward you for it.
So do you think that mentor helped you choose success in your life? Do you think that was something he chose, or do you think you chose it earlier than that?
I think I did choose it earlier, because I was always a capitalist. For the time I was like 12 years old, or even younger, I had two paper routes all the time. I mowed lawns. I just liked the concept of work and reward. I liked to have things, and I wanted to have the best bicycle. I wanted to have the nicest motorcycle when I got older. And I knew the only way to get that was to work for it. The harder I worked, the faster I got it. So I've always sort of had that drive. This is why you guys can lay around and watch TV. I'm going to go out and make some money. I'm going to make a name for myself.
Yeah. It's funny how early in life we can choose success, but then it's also funny how many people can choose mediocrity in life. So let me ask you this then. What's your theories? Because here on Big Success, it's all about success with whatever people's definition of that is. How do you think success actually happens? Like you mentioned hard work. What else does it take to be a success or be successful?
What I've always said is that to me, that one of the driving points of my career is always asking questions. I think everyone is innately curious, but a lot of them, you know, a lot of people tend to keep their curiosity inside them. Asking people who are really good at what they do, how do you do that? How did you discover that? You know, what were some of the challenges that you had? And 99.9% of people will answer the questions when you ask them. So I figured, you know what? Why shouldn't I learn from people that have already blazed the trails? If they're doing it well, show me, and then I'll show others. You know, and too many people are either afraid to ask the question or have just never been around the right kind of people. So if you surround yourself with successful people, by God, you're going to learn from them.
Yeah. So that brings two questions to my mind. How do you get around the right people? How did you get around the right people, especially early in your career? Because as you get later, like for you now, it's easy to get around the right people. They want to be around you sort of thing. So how did you do it early on?
Early in my career, what I decided I was going to do, I was working in Chicago at a marketing firm there. And I figured, you know what, I'm meeting a lot of nice people here at the agency that I work with that are smart and talented, but I need to get more plugged into the marketing community as a whole, the communications community, the advertising community, the PR community. So I joined essentially every big association in Chicago or that, you know, that existed in Chicago that were part of national things. And then I got involved in leadership positions in those meetings because that, in essence, plugged me into the movers and shakers. So I got to be around good, smart, talented, bright people. And that was infinitely, and to this day, still, you know, helps me. Those are the people that I lean on.
Yeah, yeah. So the second question that comes to mind, are there anything, any great questions you love to ask successful people? Like, I'm really lucky in that I run a Big Success podcast, so I get to ask successful people every week, how does success happen? So I get to learn from you and from other great entrepreneurs and speakers and trainers. What are some of the great questions that if someone's young and they're looking this, what should they be asking great successful people?
Well, that's a great question too. And again, I like the way you worded that, Brad, because you said, what do you want? Do you think people should be asking? Because I do think people should always be curious and always be inquisitive, because I've also found that people in leadership tend to respect and remember the people who ask questions, the vocal ones, because you're showing not just an interest in the business, you're showing an interest in them personally, and everybody likes that. So I'm a huge proponent of doing that. And I will always ask people, how did you land here in the corner office? How did you get this mantle? You know, how did you get these awards? How did you get all this praise? Like, tell me your path to get to where you are and all the mistakes that you made. And again, people always answer the questions.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about yourself. And a lot of times, you know, we don't get the chance to do that. So it's humbling, but also kind of gratifying.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So let's flip it over then. And obviously we can learn not just from our successes, but we can learn from our failures. How did you use learnings or failures or mistakes to help you become successful? What did they teach you from your failings? Or are there any good stories of that stuff that you've got to share?
I think so much, Brad, and I like to use my time at Harley-Davidson as an example here. So much of what we were doing and so much of what I was really championing, if that's a word, and quarterbacking, is we have to try doing things that not only we've never done before, but that no one that we know of has done before, which is pretty much saying, look, we have to accept up front there's a chance that some of this stuff might not work. But the main thing wasn't to look at something that didn't work and kind of wallow in the pity of it. You know, there's always something you can learn from that. Hey, we're not going to do that again. or But also to ask people around, like, how could we have done this better? What would it have taken to make this work? Because the idea sounded right, but the execution was off. How could we do this better next time? And just accepting the fact that, you know, nobody ever bats 1,000. And that's not something to get depressed about. That's just something to accept up front. Say, hey, that's part of life, and that's part of building a business and building a career. Mm. Yeah. Take some chances.
Yeah, very much so. Gang, you're on the Big Success Podcast with Brad Sugars. We'll be back with Ken Schmidt. He was the CMO. He was the Director of Communications at Harley-Davidson. He's currently president of Ken Schmidt Companies. We'll be back and talking more on success in a moment.
Marketing is the lifeblood of a business, and when done right, it's a phenomenal investment. It's profitably buying lifetime customers. How you get prospects to identify themselves as needing you is what Raise Your Hand Marketing by Brad Sugars and Josh Bardsley is all about. Getting your suspects to become prospects and raise their hand to say, I'm ready to engage with you.
And welcome back to Big Success. This is where you learn about how you can create amazing success for yourself, in your business, in your life, and in your wealth. Ken, let's talk about a quote that I wrote down when you spoke for us here in Las Vegas at our BizX event. People support what they help create. How do you have success at getting people to help you create the business and the success and all of those things? How do you do that?
In theory, it's easy, and here's why. See, I base that comment not just on experience, but on what has to be a scientific fact. And the scientific fact, I've actually no idea if it's scientific. I just assumed it is. People don't like being told what to do. You need to do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. Like if you've ever had somebody work for you or working with you and you give them, you know, kind of bark out an order, they might do it if you're watching them, but as soon as you turn your back, they stop. You know, it's dehumanizing and humiliating. But you find pretty early in your career, if your eyes are open, that if you involve people in the process of determining what needs to be done, how would you do this? What would you do first? You know, we know what needs to get done. Instead of me telling you how to do it, why don't you tell me, you know, your thoughts? How would you uh-huh. attack this problem? And when people are involved in sort of the crafting of the, you know, solution to the problem, well, by God, they buy into completing it. Well, now I have to finish this. I own this now.
Yeah.
And enthusiasm goes up, you know, buy-in goes up. It's just a matter of involving people in the decisions about things that are, you know, important to them.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back to Harley, and I want to think about, which, by the way, my favorite bike is my Softail. Any particular bike your favorite?
Oh, I'm a Street Glide guy.
Sure. There you go. So I knew that might be the case. So, and I think as I get older, I may change. You know, it's one of those things. It might, comfort might be the thing that I look for.
That's coming, Brad. That is coming your way. It does for all of us. Eventually, comfort trumps all.
So let's talk turnaround. How do you succeed at doing a turnaround? What's your thoughts on that? Because that was a big, big turnaround when you look at it.
Well, first of all, you have to be very cognizant of the reality that says, look, we don't have a cure for infectious diseases here that people have to buy. What we have something that is incredibly similar to what our competitors have to sell. You know, we make and sell a product. And I say that across any category in any business, anybody I talk to, there's nothing you can sell me that I can't get from somebody else. So that was kind of an ego check to say, hey, we might think we're the greatest, but the marketplace clearly doesn't. So that's what went wrong in our case, and what goes wrong in most businesses that have something to sell, is we dumped collectively all of our energy into promoting product, promoting what we do. And what we learned the hard way is that that's essentially presenting yourself as a commodity, saying the product is what's most important here. And that can't be true in a marketplace where there's lookalike stuff that's, you know, made very, very well and sold by big name companies at lower prices. As we need to, as a business, stand for something that transcends what we do and instead presents who we are. Mm. Because if you talk about a business, you never talk about what a business does. You always use the pronoun they, which means, you know, they do this. This is what they do. This is who they are. As we humanize the business, so we said, let's stop talking about what we do and talk about who we are and who we do it for.
Got it.
And the glorifying people versus hardware or processes made us more approachable, made our dealers more approachable, made us a more attractive and likable business in a market full of lookalikes. The businesses that do the best or the people that do the best are the most likable and approachable.
Got it.
That's the tack that we took.
So let's think about that then, because, you know, you use the term tattoo worthy. I mean, the turning your customers into referral sources, advocates of the brand. How do you succeed at creating a tattoo worthy brand?
It's such a great question, because people look at, a Harley Davidson tattoo on somebody's body. And there's millions of them out there. You know, what a world. And they instantly equate that with a motorcycle or a product. So that person is expressing his or her loyalty to their motorcycle. And that's not true. And that was the kind of thinking that, you know, eventually bankrupted our business, the belief that it was all about product. Now, that when we express loyalty to a company, we're not expressing it to what they do. We're doing it, expressing that loyalty to who they are,
right,
the people behind the product, because that's all people can do. We humanize everything. And people will always say, I really want people to be loyal to this service that we provide. Boy, I wish they'd be more loyal and, you know, wouldn't always shop for price and would just always buy their products from us. But it's so hard to make them loyal. And I go, of course, it's hard to make them loyal to an object or a thing. You need to make them loyal to you.
Yeah.
The people behind the thing. And if you are doing things that delight them, that surprise them, that make them feel like you absolutely care about and are focused on delighting them and being just a great partner with them, well, guess what? They're going to come back for more. And that's really what loyalty is.
Brilliant. So let's speak on loyalty for a bit. How else do you create real success in loyalty? Because I know business people, that's something that is massive, creating that customer loyalty base.
I think that the first rule of all of that is realizing, again, and I always say this is the job one. We're not here to serve. We're here to delight. It's a totally different mindset. It uses a different side of the brain. It says, if I focus first on delighting this person, whether I'm live and speaking with them, you know, personally, whether I'm online, whether it's a text, whether it's a website, whether it's an email, is if I focus first on remembering that there's a human being at the other end of this. And my job is to be a source of delight, to make that person feel a little bit better about themselves. And anybody in any business can do this. If you do that, you've immediately got their attention.
Yeah.
And anything that makes us feel good, we return to. Again, that's what loyalty is. So the mindset shift is there's a customer, a client, maybe someone that we don't know is on the other end of the phone calling us. Our first thought is, you know, what do I want this person to remember and repeat? What do I want them to remember about this 30 seconds or maybe 5 minutes that they spend with me? If I'm focused on that first, not, boy, I got to get the sale. Boy, I got to get this person off the phone as quickly as possible. Boy, I got to get this meeting set up. Ultimately, that doesn't work nearly as well as focus on delight, focus on the remember and repeat. Say and do something to that person that they're going to remember. And that's not hard to do.
It's so simple, but so profound, everything you just said. In your book, Make Some Noise, the word dominance is a big focus. And it's something that I took out of it, that focus on dominance. How do we succeed at dominance, I guess, in a market?
It's interesting, Brad, how many people, and I know I'm sure you run into this all the time with clients, or, you know, the action coach people out there that are working with their clients, say that they'll talk to people who seem to have a sense of sort of self-defeatism. well, we'll never be as big as, you know, these guys. You know, they've got things that we don't. Instead of focusing on all the things that you're not, why don't you just focus on crushing as many competitors as you can? Because you know what? All your competitors probably have that same mindset.
Yeah.
Hey, we're just happy to be in the game. You know, we'll struggle for any sale. And I always think, well, that's fine. But if you can't be a market leader without a kind of a dominance mindset, in order for me to win and be successful, that means I need to be better than, or to be perceived as better than, these people I'm competing against. So it, in my mind, I want them to lose and me to win. And dominators win.
You know, you don't go onto a football field or a baseball or any sporting environment without thinking that way. I need to dominate this other team. I need them to play my game. I'm not going to play their game. So I love that mindset. I want to ask you one last area of success. How do you succeed as a CMO? Because you've trained a lot of marketing officers. You know, the consulting you do, the work you do with your company, the Ken Schmidt Company now. How do you become a successful CMO?
What I have learned and said for decades, Brad, is that you always should be working with the absolute best available people. If it requires paying more to work with the best, you pay more, because ultimately you end up paying more in the long run if you surround yourself with the people with lower levels of talent or ability or of lower attitude. So you surround yourself with the best possible people. It lifts you up because you all learn from each other. And then you constantly challenge each other to push each other to always ask why. Why did you do that? What's another way that we could do this? What was the thought on that? And as long as people are always talking about and pushing and challenging each other, and the whole group rises. And at the end of the day, they make me look better. Isn't that the job?
I love it. I love it. You're on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars. We'll be back with Ken Schmidt in just a moment, and we will be talking about leveling up, taking success to the greatest of heights.
World-renowned speaker and teacher Ken Schmidt. As the former director of communications for Harley-Davidson Motor Company, he played an active role in one of the most celebrated turnarounds in corporate history. Find out more on kenspeaks.com today.
Welcome back to Big Success. I'm Brad Sugars. We're here with Ken Schmidt, president of the Ken Schmidt Companies. He is a genius at all things marketing. You know, Ken, when you look at Harley, they've achieved amazing things. They already had achieved amazing things when you stepped in and started helping with the whole rebrand, or I wouldn't call it a rebrand, like the turnaround, I guess, of the market. Sometimes, and it's often been said, that good is the enemy of great. How does someone go from good to great, or to amazing, or to unicorn? You know, that dominance that you talk about. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, it's very much a mindset. And I call it a very contagious mindset, because when you, whether it's just, you know, you in your own business and you're just a one person shop, or if you're somebody that's working with hundreds of other people, to me, the quest for dominance and the visible effort behind doing that is a very contagious thing. If I, as a leader or someone who's working with a team, is pushing and pushing our things, saying there's no reason why we can't take this a level higher. There's no reason why we shouldn't do better each quarter than we did the quarter before. And here's how we're going to do that, and just not let off the gas. Because just like the quest for success is contagious, so is kind of acquiescence and acceptance of the norm, or that kind of that self-defeatism. We can't really get bigger than we are.
Yeah,
we've got all these things working against us. You know, Amazon's out there. Okay, the internet's going to hurt our business. You know, all these excuses that people have to say, well, all right, well, guess what? Everybody else has those same issues too.
Yeah. How do you keep yourself in that mindset? And how do you keep your clients in that mindset of ever growth, ever everything? Like, because in a massive corporation, they've got a board of directors, shareholders who are demanding that growth. But to do it personally is different. How do you do that?
It's all about mindset and confidence and always asking questions, because you know what? If the business isn't succeeding, it's because the person running it or the people running it aren't asking enough questions. They're not turning over every rock to see what exactly are we not doing right here. And they're also not, and this is absolutely key, they're not asking the people that they serve what they can and should be doing differently or better. What would you like to see us do? We're trying to go from good to great. We're trying to be absolutely dominant. How can we do that? How can we better serve you? What would you like to see us do? If you were running our business, what would you do? First of all, people will answer those questions because everyone asks a question that you ask them in person, but you're going to pick up things. You're going to learn that, hey, maybe your competitors are better at some of the things you're doing than you thought they were.
Yeah.
How do we overcome that? And then work together and say, well, that's it. If somebody's doing something better than we are, we have to start putting together a plan to do it better than they are. Yeah. We cannot allow them to dominate us.
Yeah. Wonderful. So let's think about that dominant mindset, because it really is about, you know, how do you dream massive? How do you even get to that thinking? Because you think about it, when you're a young man, you had to think massive. You had to do that. When you walked into Harley, you had to pose the question, how do we do things that we've never done before? How do you train someone to actually believe in the fact or even leap to that, Ken?
It's interesting because I was surrounded by a lot of really passionate people. And what I learned pretty quickly is that the passion doesn't automatically equate to ability. And that, you know, that sounds like it's a bad thing. Not necessarily so, but a lot of people were perfectly content to just get by. And I've always said, look, if you want to get invited to have dinner at the CEO's house, if you want to mix it up and party with the movers and shakers, you've got to be more visible. You've got to be more plugged in. Mm. You have to be in front of them. They have to know who you are. You have to be doing something that delights them so that they remember you. And there were always some people who say, you know what, that's not the world that I want to be in. I don't want any part of that. And then I, you know, always have to tell them kind of straight up, then you're going to have a really difficult time with me. You're going to have a difficult time here because we're here to dominate. Now, we're in overdrive and we can't accept anybody that's willing to just sit there neutral. We got to go and we got to go hard. You're all in or you're all out. I got to see it to know that it's real. Make it real. Make me a believer.
Love it. All in, all out. All right, we're going to do a quick fire round. I love doing this on our Big Success podcast. What's your one tip in each of these areas and how to have success? So let's start with fun. What's your tip on how to have success of being having fun in life?
Being surrounded by people who want to have fun with you. Fun is contagious.
The Hog Group, the Harley Group is definitely one of those. That's always been the case.
Amen.
Self-development. How do you have success at developing yourself?
I read a newspaper cover to cover, at least one every day. I get any group I ever talk to, especially college kids. If you want to do well in the world, you have to know what's going on in the world. You need to be able to talk about what CEOs and business leaders are talking about. And they're talking about what's happening in the world because it impacts their business.
Yeah.
Be conversant in that stuff.
Great. Goals. How do you have success at setting goals?
If you don't set a goal, you obviously can't meet it and you can't really improve. Because you have to be, each goal should exceed the one that you had prior so that it forces you to keep learning.
Yeah. Personal best is one of my favorites. How about health? How do you have success in health?
In health? Make that as important a part of your daily regimen as eating and sleeping. So if you're not taking care of your body, ultimately your body will betray you. And I don't want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen to people that are important to me.
Yeah. I don't want to have to ride the old man Harley yet. I just want to ride the stay on.
Exactly. I'm not ready for the little electric cart. You know, I got to keep moving.
Relationships. How do you have success at relationships?
Ask questions. What'd you do today? How did that go over for you? how could it have made, you know, how could it have been better for you? Just the fact that you're being curious around the people that are important to you. First of all, that means you'll never run out of things to talk about. But two, it shows that you care about them.
And last one on my list, wealth. How do you have success at wealth?
Treat it seriously. This is, you know, you don't look at wealth for the sake of wealth. You look at wealth from my perspective, for your retirement, for the betterment of your family, and for your personal comfort. You manage it, you set goals for it, and you work to meet and exceed those goals. And once you develop that mindset, it becomes kind of one of those guiding things in your life.
Wonderful. So, final piece of advice you'd have, or what's the best advice or the best quote you've ever seen or been told around success?
I think was what I said up front is your job isn't to make yourself look good. It's your job is to make the people around you look good. Because if they look good, you can't help but glow. And everybody knows who's responsible for their success. So,
well,
lift up the people around you, yep, and watch what happens.
Wonderful. Well, Ken, hopefully we've made you look good today on this Big Success Podcast. Thank you so much for your time, energy, and effort. Gang, you're on the Big Success Podcast. Hit the show notes, connect with Ken, follow Ken, read his books, do whatever you can to learn more from this gentleman. And we'll be back next week with more success for you. And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes. Hopefully you learned a bunch. And hopefully you're going to take action on it. BS, Brad Sugars, Big Success, take action. Check all the show notes for all of the links. So I'll make sure that you have links to every single thing that every speaker has in our show notes. Check them now. Click the links. Take advantage of it. And I'll speak to you again next time on the Big Success Podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success, as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.